welcome back to Cinema Vino.
Hey.
We're here on a bitchin' Saturday night.
We're here.
I'm here with my dogs.
Yo, yo.
Travis Taylor. Your little ass is too fat.
And,
what?
And so basically, we are going to try something a little different. We are all right now sober as preachers in the deep south.
Well, I'm hungover.
Oh, I've had one sip of wine.
Yes.
Yeah, I just took one too.
And yes, Taylor is not doing well.
I partied hard last night.
Probably won't be with us for much longer on the planet.
Literally, rest in peace.
He's already called his Uber.
So what we're going to do is we drew 13th Warrior during the last podcast. For those of you who have been along for this roller coaster ride of emotions, we are going to drink a little Merlot. We're going to watch 13th Warrior. We're probably going to down more than one bottle, multiple bottles, and we will come back in a different state of mind. It's like we will enter another dimension and then come back and join you.
I mean, it's kind of like 13th Warrior.
Mm-hmm.
It's like
we're going to learn a new language.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to experience good weather.
So I felt really bad about my pick, because we've all seen it. But you guys both have told me you haven't seen it in almost 20 years.
Yeah.
I saw it in your bedroom in high school.
Oh.
And
not our hands were furiously moving underneath the covers.
Playing tummy sticks. I was like, I just know that my motivation is very low right now to watch this movie. But because I love you guys, I'm going to do it.
I've always found that while you're, like, I watch Raiders of the Lark. Jesus, I'm not even drunk yet. I've watched Raiders of the Lost Ark, but then when I watched it when I was drinking, oh my God, it got so much better. You're going to fucking love it when we get to the end.
We'll see.
I felt bad at first, but now I'm fucking down. I brought three versions of the movie.
That is actually very true.
We'll take a picture, throw that up on the website.
Mm-hmm. That's moviereviews.us for those of you who are brave enough to join us on that realm and check it out. Yes, there are three stacks of movies over there of 13th Warrior.
Region 1.
Two different DVDs, which I guess I bought twice. And then a import Blu-ray, which I'm not sure is in English.
I just imagine you walking by like Walmart, you seeing this big bin of DVDs, and you're like, "Oh, 13th Warrior, yeah, that sounds good." He's like, "Oh, sure,
ooh, Scandal,
season 4." Yeah, you haven't experienced 13th Warrior until you've listened to it in Icelandic.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't wait.
Yeah, it's gonna be great. So I guess we'll be back in an hour and 43 minutes. You guys want to join with us?
It's 46 minutes, wasn't it?
It's something. It's going to seem like 46. It's going to be 43, but it's going to feel like 3 minutes long.
43.
Damn it.
Yeah. So I was hoping we'd draw my movie, A Problem Child, too, but I think we're stuck with 13th Warrior.
I was kind of hoping we'd get like Big Top Pee Wee or either one of the mannequins.
Yeah.
But I've just seen recently both of the mannequins, so.
Big Top Pee Wee's our destiny.
Mm-hmm.
It's our little penguin.
Hey, Pee Wee.
Good Lord.
So, anyway, we are going to go on our journey, and then we will be back when we're hot and fresh out the kitchen. So,
hello there. Do I see my father?
We'll see you in a bit.
Goodbye.
Welcome back, and we're here, and we're overjoyed that we just watched 13th Warrior.
Good Lord.
It was amazing.
Guys, I'm sorry.
And before we descend into absolute anarchy, I want to say that you can listen, rate, subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify.
Yeah.
Give us a good review. Tell us you love us. We would greatly appreciate it.
How many wines have we had since our last recording here?
We are almost to our third bottle.
Yeah. I mean, I'm...
Well, Travis is...
Travis is drinking something rancid.
Yeah. I mean, this bottle was left next to the radiator, and it's like for...
I bought it. Todd poured it, said hell no.
Yeah. Yeah, I also concurred with Todd.
It is a delicious Pinot Noir that is past its prime.
Well, okay, so and I said...
into toilet wine status.
I said my palate is dog shit. Todd was very nice and said my palate was forgiving.
Travis, your palate is pretty decent. I mean, you know the difference between mayo and mustard. I mean, because you're a water burger with mayo guy.
Exactly.
Todd's wife, Joanna, she said my palate is forgiving.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
And she's very forgiving. So,
mm-hmm.
So yeah, we are We started off with the Acre Merlot, which is part of the ebook I'm doing.
That was good.
Mm-hmm. I'm pairing Merlot with the movie Sideways, and for reasons I'll go into in the ebook, and you can read.
Yeah.
And also Cabernet Franc, which is another one I'm going to pair with that movie. Yeah. The Acre Merlot and then the Ravines Cabernet Franc, which is from upstate New York. Big, earthy, smoky.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Cabernet Franc. It's like, burly.
Yeah, it was, I mean, especially when, that's why I love whenever you, anyone who's ever learning, trying to figure about wine and learn, the best thing you can do is get two different bottles of wine and get a few friends and drink them side by side.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that was, I mean, the minute you poured that, I was like, oh, my God. It was just so different than the Merlot we were drinking. So.
Yeah, and the Merlot was velvety almost.
Oh, yeah. It was like a really good Merlot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Both were it was delicious.
Smooth.
Yeah. And then I switched to Anne Aimée, which I don't know when it was originally opened.
Yeah, you're drinking what's left of the Anne Aimée.
Yeah.
Originally, yeah, that is a nice, like, bright cherry, you know, very traditional Oregon Pinot Noir.
This is maybe 2 months since it was opened.
And, oh, my
oh
God.
Yeah. That is.
That makes a lot of sense.
That's a box of Raisinets liquefied at this point.
I think it's still pretty good.
With a hint of baseball cards.
I don't think it's good.
That is like somebody took some Raisinets and put a Barry Bonds rookie card and liquefied it.
And then we've been finishing off the night with a Hinman Pinot Noir.
Yeah, and we've actually did this
before. Yeah, we've had that before.
Yeah. It's just another kind
of... It was a nice, $13-$14 bottle that I was... Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a light, easy drink. I know we've had it before, but it's one of those Pinots where you're not spending $25-$30.
Ooh, and after this podcast, Todd has to take a shot because he made a bet with his wife.
Yeah, this is very true.
Horrid,
Can you... Yeah. Why are you taking... What bet did you lose? What shot are you taking?
Yeah, I'm an idiot. I mean,
also, he's TLDR. Really bad at taking shots, so I'm going to love this. Continue. Yes.
So I like to make challenges to my wife in terms of trivia, and I like to park it in areas where I think she might not be able to guess. So full disclosure, we were watching the pilot episode of Designing Women on Hulu.
As you do. RIP.
And it was a great 22 minutes of entertainment.
I had to look and see. Wait, is she really RIP?
No, she's.
And Travis just shook his head no.
She just went home.
Yeah. Might as well be.
So we watched the pilot episode, and of course, end credits are rolling, and I'm feeling saucy and mouthy, and I'm just like, okay, you can tell me the name of the theme song of this show. I will take a shot of alcohol. And lo and behold, as sometimes happens on end credits, they have to cite lyrics and music of all the music played in the episode, and that comes on the end credits of Georgia On My Mind as soon as she looks, and she says it, and I am screwed.
Well, and she said you didn't even realize it popped up. You were just amazed at her prowess.
Yeah, so again, I'm an idiot, and I have to take a shot.
What are you taking a shot of?
Yeah, that's a good question.
There's some Seagram 7s over there that I'm probably just going to dip my face into.
I'm going to watch that.
Yeah.
Dibs. I mean, we should probably... Can we take a video of that and put it on the... I mean, I would love to.
Yeah. Just go full debauch.
Mm-hmm.
And we will get to that at a later portion of our broadcast. So, first of all, what we can do is... You know, in Hollywood, they have the concept of log lines where it's like you have to summarize something in 20 seconds or two sentences of any movie. That's the great challenge if you ever bring a script into anybody anywhere is that, you know, you work on it for years, you do draft after draft after draft, and then you meet somebody and they say, sum it up in 20 seconds. And so what would be, we'll start with Travis because this is your jam, what would be your log line of 13th Warrior?
All right, so you don't follow the hero's POV. You actually follow one of the other minor characters, and you get to see and watch the story from his perspective. I think I'm done.
Wow, that was okay.
That was interesting.
Yeah. I guess, I don't even know. Following a man on a philosophical, mental, physical journey, and he comes across something that he can immerse his entire body into, and the end of the film just leaves nothing to the imagination.
Yes.
So that would be, it's not a pitch. That's just what I would describe the movie as.
I would say in the Middle Ages, an Arab poet gets recruited by Norse warriors to unite and take down the mutual threat of some supernatural pagan cult fighters.
Okay, Todd, I feel like you set Travis and I up for this, and you practiced with this, and you wrote it down numerous times.
He asked a question.
I thought about that during the movie. It's like, what is the... Because to me, that the movie borders on incoherent sometimes.
Yeah.
And I say that not having seen it since... I don't think I've seen it maybe since the theater.
Yeah.
So it came out in 99. You said 20 years.
Yeah.
I think Taylor has seen it since... I mean, in a... less amount of time than that. Mm-hmm. But
I was trying to think, like, what is... And I do that sometimes with reviews of, like, how would I summarize this in two sentences? Mm-hmm. You know, can I? And if you can't, you know, then you're in big trouble. It's like in the movie Sideways, where the writer, Paul Giamatti, is asked multiple times to describe the novel he's been working on for years.
Oh, yeah.
And he
goes into gibberish, like, you know, well, it's a long explanation. He goes into, like, 4 or 5 pages worth of stuff, and it's like, you're in trouble if you can't summarize it.
Well, okay, one of the movies that I had Taylor watch recently was Cabin in the Woods, mm-hmm. and you can't explain it without giving it away.
Yeah.
I think you probably could.
Let's hear it.
Well, I mean, I would have to go back and watch it again, but it's like, you definitely could. What you want to do there is, like, if you're pitching it, make it, like, enticing.
Yeah. You're pitching it to give somebody the spoiler.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
To
where it's like, what happens?
Mm-hmm. So, this was... clearly my pick, and at first I was sad. I was like, damn it, you guys have already seen this, whatever, I guess we'll watch it. But I realized also this is the only time I could ever get you guys to sit down and actually watch mm-hmm. a film I like.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like this is going to be a lot of me trying to defend this movie, but let's hear what you guys thought.
I will say, I saw this with you a long time ago, and I at one point when we were watching, I said, yeah, I think I don't remember anything after this. Like, I knew kind of the very beginning of it. I guess I don't quite under Michael, the book.
Michael Crichton.
So this
Jurassic
was
Park.
Yeah, so this was after Jurassic Park. And I want to know. I was like,
he might have written it before, possibly.
Because, like, I want to know what
happened. It's an older book.
Because, like,
and it might be the reason. Sorry,
no,
that might be the reason why it got made. Because Jurassic Park.
Oh yeah.
Was it blew up, and they're like, oh shit, let's mine this dude's other shit.
He's an above the title name at that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, because it was a book. In my mind, I was like, what the hell is happening? Like, I don't think he would have written something like this. It was like they don't really. I felt like there were a lot of holes in it, like they mm-hmm.
it's incoherent.
They created things to make it go quick. Mm-hmm. It's like, just kill this guy and you're good to go. And it was like, what? Mm-hmm. I was like, of all the things that I knew that he has done, that he's written, it was like, that's it, that's gonna stop everything. I mean, I will say this, after watching it, I did kind of like it, in the sense of, like, man, for I don't think it was for 1999, that blew my mind. Yeah. It's like, what? And, I mean, if that was like a 94, 95 film, it's like, along with Braveheart, it was like, that was beautiful, mm-hmm. you know? But it's like, man, where did the money go?
Yeah.
It's like, where did you put the money into? Because it wasn't special effects. It was just like, did you pay Antonio $100 million?
Went up,
like,
somebody's nose.
Yeah. I was like, so honestly, I liked it in the sense that it kind of made me giggle. Mm-hmm. Where it's like, it's one of those films you can watch and you can kind of laugh at, where it's like, knowing that even though it's supposed to be a dead serious film, and then knowing it was a flop as well, mm-hmm. it's like, you can, it's much easier. Yeah. It's
it
much
lost
easier.
Around $130 million, yeah. apparently.
It's much easier to, like, nitpick it. And it almost becomes comical. So I actually liked watching it, also with you guys, Art. Mm-hmm. But it was like, would I watch it again? I recommend it? Probably.
It's interesting that you guys mentioned that it came out the same year as Matrix, and then we were talking about special effects, and then I was like,
that's a spicy meatball.
There was, like, one big effect shot, and it was just like a horse jumping over a log or something, and that I was just like, ooh, this didn't age well.
Yeah.
But that was the most CGI that I think I saw.
Yeah, I guess it wasn't even CGI. I think I was just more... shocked that it was
superimposed,
like,
maybe, or something.
Well, they deliberately, it's like Waterworld. When they made Waterworld, they broke a lot of rules of filmmaking, where it's like, one of the rules is, like, you never set a movie entirely on water. You're just asking to spend mm-hmm. enormous amounts of money because water is unpredictable, especially on the ocean. You never know what the hell is going to happen.
Yeah,
they built sets for that movie. A typhoon hits and sinks them all. You know, that kind of, like, there's long scenes in this movie set in the rain. There's long, obviously, it's all period. It's all costumes. It's all swords. Yeah. It's all on location. It's asking to spend a lot of money.
And it came out, again, in 99 when, and we were talking about this, all the original Lord of the Rings movies were being filmed. Mm-hmm. And again, I did not make that connection until you guys brought it up.
Yeah.
I was
like, oh. They were doing Helm's Deep at that time.
Yeah.
Well, oh, the Lord of the Rings. Like, I was going to say, I was like,
shooting it, yeah.
They're doing their own dirty version of Helm's Deep.
Yeah, that, I mean, it's to quote one of Travis's greatest lines, I mean, that kind of was a fake-ass B-roll Fozzie. Kind of like, it was like, that was kind
Fozzie
of
Fozzie Bear.
Yeah, that was, it was, I will say this, I would recommend it, though. I would recommend it to someone to go watch. It was like, I don't think the acting was terribly bad. It did, Todd and I mentioned it, I did feel like one of the North Burly men was, it's like, this guy needs to be in a Die Hard film.
Yeah.
It was like, this guy, it's like, this guy.
Oh, the main dude. He was in Smoking Aces, and I think he was in some other shit. Like, that dude, the main guy that played, fuck, Todd, tell what you thought about it before I start talking to shit.
I agree completely where it's like, John McTiernan directed it. He did Die Hard. He did Hunt for Red October. And yeah, there were a lot of Euro diehard villains walking through there. It's like, ah, oh, you're still a cowboy, Mr. McLean. No, I would say that it doesn't age terribly well. I mean, it's like, it looks extremely dated. It's weird because McTiernan with Die Hard and Hunt for October, I think Hunt for October is extremely well, tightly directed movie.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a claustrophobic setting on board a submarine. He does a great job of not only keeping things coherent where you know what's going on, who's in charge of what, who's given what commands, you know, who's firing at what ship. It's like Die Hard. It's like, again, very well directed in an intense space.
Yeah.
This movie, which is wide open and epic, felt like it was incoherent. It's like the action scenes felt like kind of sloppy.
That's a good point. Like being like wide open, it might be,
it's tough to make sense sometimes of what's going on. You know, it's more murky. And not only that, but this is a weird complaint that I think that movies are too long and need to be shorter. This felt like a 100-minute movie that could have been longer and explained more.
Yeah,
and
I agree with that. Yeah, it could have been longer.
Given us more plot and more a sense of what, like, who we're supposed to be rooting for and why.
Yeah.
Differentiate these blonde Nordic characters from each other and who they are, what their role is, what their personalities are. You know, so I think that there could have been a little more time spent, basically. Yeah. Massage the story out a little bit. But, yeah, I mean, especially when you bring Omar Sharif, Lawrence of Arabia, you know, he's been in all these epic movies that you think of when you see him. It's like,
he was Antonio's homeboy at the very beginning.
The translator. It's like, they could have, it makes it more like they could have made this an epic, like, longer, bigger movie.
Yeah, so, you know, having him in there and the way that they were probably trying to promote it, they probably thought they had that on their hands.
Yeah.
And it was just like, oh, I see. Yeah.
So it really only had two named, like, actors at the time.
Yeah.
Omar Sharif, and then Antonio Banderas was, like, the main character the entire time.
Yeah.
And the rest, I think, were not Swedish or you know, they were
Scandinavian.
Yes, thank you. Scandinavian actors.
Yeah.
That were maybe known there, but not so much elsewhere.
Yeah. It's an odd, and again, I thought it looked, for that money, kind of cheap. You know, where it's like, you compare it to movies of the time, like we were saying, it's like, it looks like it just is not, I don't know where that $130 plus million dollars went. So, you know, it's like, it felt lacking.
It was, I just thought of this because I thought of it during the film as well, but it had a, it kind of had like a village from M. Night Shyamalan, like the village feels. Like, we never really, I mean, you kind of knew these creatures were out there, but you never got to understand really what the creatures were. And when they explained it, it was just like, what?
Yeah.
It's like, it's like, you never really, it's like, oh, we just killed the main guy.
Mm-hmm.
And they just fade away.
Yeah.
I mean, like what
yeah, that, yeah, that didn't make a lot of sense either. I mean, I was just like, how do they know it's done? They still have a shit ton of guys out there.
Yeah, I was like,
they're just going to be like, I guess that's it. Let's go home.
And I guess we don't eat people anymore? Like, are we done with that?
Let's just take a knee. We're done. We're wearing lights over. Sorry.
Yeah. Lady throwing the bones. She knew what was up, I guess?
Yeah.
And did they cast the same? I know we asked this during the movie. Did they cast the same lady from Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves? Where it's like, oh, you were in that? Yeah, let's just bring you on for this one. It's like, the painted man, he haunts my dreams.
Oh, gosh.
All right, so if I can step in here.
Mm-hmm.
So the very first time I watched this, I heard it was a take on Beowulf. So in the epic poem Beowulf, he fights a giant monster creature named Grendel, kills it. Then he fights Grendel's mother, who's the mother of monsters or whatever. And then at the end, he fights a big-ass dragon. Yeah. So I'm like, man, fuck yeah, I'm down with this.
Yeah.
So as soon as they come out with, like, all right, he's going to fight the dragon or whatever they call it, the glowworm or the fire drake. And he's like, dragon? And he goes out there and he sees it's just a line of cavalry with torches.
Yeah.
I was like, is that it?
Yeah.
Is there no dragon? I got fucking catfished? Fuck this.
Yeah.
I fucking hated this movie when I first watched it. I was like, well, this is bullshit.
Yeah.
And then I saw it again on TV, and then I think I watched it again, and then each time I watched it, it was, you know, became a cult classic.
Yeah.
It just became an earworm. I was just like, oh, yeah, I fucking dig this. I dig the soundtrack.
It's George Costanza when he dates a woman, like how he eventually gets stuck in her head.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
a jingle.
Can't mm-hmm. stand ya.
And so, like, as I kept watching, I was like, you know what? This is badass. And, you know, so most cult movies aren't well loved, right?
Yeah.
And so because there's not the love for the movie and you realize that nobody else likes it, it makes you love it more. Kind of like a band
mm-hmm.
where you're like, I fucking love this band. Everybody hates it. Makes me love it more.
Yeah.
It's like Nickelback.
That's me
exactly.
with 13th Warrior is that I've loved it more and more. I'm just like, I fucking dig it. And as a D&D fan too, I'm just like, okay, that dude's the ranger. This dude's a rogue. This dude's a fighter. I just get in this 100% nerd mode when I watch it.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, it's grown on me throughout the years and to where I've somehow acquired like 3 different copies of the DVD and I went out of my way to find the Blu-ray, which is not available in the States. And I bought some weird like import version of it.
But I could see it's totally in your wheelhouse of the D&D thing, like the fantasy Beowulf. It definitely hits your spots.
Mm-hmm.
I would say this is your Con Air and Taylor.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh,
oh yeah.
No, Con Air has John Malkovich, Nicolas Cage.
Oh yeah, it's a masterpiece.
Yeah.
Steve Buscemi.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Exactly.
Dave Chappelle.
Machete. Yeah. Danny Trejo.
One thing I did enjoy about this movie, 13 Warrior, was it still exists in that fantasy world where there's still Billy Ray Cyrus mullets.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's still
that dude was badass.
It's still the kind of crispy.
And he lived.
Yeah.
He's their fucking ranger.
He was the Billy Ray Cyrus Aragorn.
Yeah. The Trex. Dying in the cliffs 2 miles up.
It was the
he knew what was up.
The achy, breaky heart Strider.
Yeah. And then there was that one dude who apparently they stopped filming for a couple months. This one guy ate Twinkies 2 at a time and some Hostess cupcakes and some Swiss cake rolls. At the end, his cheeks, he got stung by bees.
I feel like they're like, all right, we're wrapped up. We're all done. He's like, thank God. He went home and just started mowing down some snowballs and some ho-hos and ding-dongs. And then they're like, oh, shit, we got to do some pickup scenes.
Hashtag
like,
reshoots.
Yeah, he was like, what? He's like, God damn it.
I picture he was halfway through a KFC bucket. The phone rang. It's like, oh, shit.
I had to grow this beard back out.
I got to get back my chainmail.
Yeah, I was like, damn.
That ain't going to fit.
Yeah.
I've gained 4 inches on my waist.
6.
Yeah, that was. Woo.
We're going to take a brief break, and then we're going to draw our next movie.
Oh, I didn't know that.
For Cinema
Vino. I love it.
I'm sexy.
So, y'all, don't get your panties in a bunch.
Or do.
So what we're going to do right now is we're going to draw the next movie that we're going to screen. We placed some selections into a copper pot here.
Moscow Mule.
Mm-hmm, to a giant receptacle. And yes,
it's well, and let it be known that Travis has been left out of this.
I abstained because we watched a movie and everybody hated it and yeah. hated me in turn.
I hated you before.
Well, yeah, we always hated you. This movie doesn't help or hurt it. It's yeah. like
I'll just
it can only
wrap
help.
Myself in the solace of my huge cock, I guess.
Wow,
what a strange metaphor.
Thank you. So I put in three. Todd put in three.
Wait, did you put in three?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Taylor put in four.
Three oh, God. Inches.
Ready?
Do it. Here we go. I'm so nervous.
And the name of the color of the pen in my hand is royal blue.
Let's be setting down the giant Moscow Mule. I'm okay with this. Three Amigos.
Yes, that's a Todd one. I'm into it, though. That's totally into
Three
it.
Three Amigos.
That's Toddy.
That's Todd. I'm into it.
I've seen this a multitude of times.
I don't think...
I'm okay with watching it again.
So I'm going to give Travis some justification here. This is one of those movies that I think I pick up something new every time I watch it. All along 13th Warrior, where like it kind of grows on you. Like every time I watch this film, I always like find something new.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, shit. You know, I find... funnier. And so
sort of like last time, we went through a couple of the other alternate takes.
Oh yeah.
We're gonna do it again, and then whatever movie I say, the person that put it in, they're gonna own up to it.
Okay.
Well. Ooh, this one I don't know of. The Score.
Oh, that was me. That was
De Niro
and Norton.
And Marlon Brando.
Marlon Brando.
Good movie.
Yeah.
Good weather.
I put it on there because I've seen it numerous times, and it has not grown on me. But,
You don't like it?
Let me put it this way. At the tender age of 18, as I flew to London, England, that was the only film I could play on the airplane. Hmm. So I watched that a lot. And on the way back, that was the only film I could watch on the way back.
Didn't you, when you went to London, England, you asked for a cold beer, and they were like, we don't have that.
Yes, I was a naive youngin. And well, I said I would like a beer. A
Grolsch?
Yeah, I said, can I have a Grolsch? And he was like, Grolsch? And I was like, yes. That's like so.
Now but you don't know Grolsch here.
All right. The Score. Actually, that sounds awesome.
It's not a bad movie, yeah.
I think it's back on Hulu or Amazon Prime now.
I've got that on DVD for those who are into antiquated technology.
So is that, I mean,
so it's one
is
and
it
one.
Bad I'm answering this? No, okay. No. Oh.
I'm sticking with Three Amigos. On
all right.
One.
You know what? This one I can already tell who owns it, and it's Todd. And fuck you, Todd. We tried to watch this one time, and you were like, the next time we watched half of it because your bitch ass wanted to go to sleep. And then I was like, hey, man, you want to watch the rest of that film? And I'm like, I don't think I can. You know, fast forward 3 weeks later, and I was like, guess I'll watch this on my own.
You're thinking about different, but.
Well,
you're thinking about Ed Wood.
I'm thinking of Ed Wood, but this is Plan 9 from Outer Space.
What is that?
It's an Ed Wood movie.
Oh. It's an Ed Wood
film.
It's
tasty. I love it.
Yeah.
It's weird, undead, alien, vampire thing. It's
the worst movie ever made.
Yeah, it's awesome. Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. It honestly is worth a watch.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if Tay hadn't seen it. I want it. I would like to see Tay's interpretation.
Yes. Yeah. It's like watching with someone who hasn't seen it. It's like first time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's like Christmas morning.
Next one, okay.
What?
Taylor, that's Con Air.
I don't give a fuck how many times y'all watch it. That is my 13th Warrior.
We're watching Tim Tebow crying.
There better be a fucking thesis, 20-page dissertation deconstruction in your wheelhouse on this film.
Oh.
Why don't you give back the bunny?
That's Nick Cage with a mullet? A skullet.
Yeah, skullet. Pretty much a skullet.
And a horrible southern accent.
Yeah.
Mm. Foghorn, leghorn accent.
And this one I know that Travis probably has because he doesn't know.
This is Todd.
Oh, okay.
Help. Beatles?
No, that was me.
That's Tay.
That was me. Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah.
Have you had me watch this? Help?
I know.
Yeah.
I'm 100.
Was it actually like? Was it a long ass like music video with a
kind? It I mean like
Beach Boys vibe
every Beatles
or some
movie
shit?
That was like
yeah.
Basically just it's built around the music.
Yeah,
Before the drugs.
During drugs. Mm-hmm. They, nice. They were just smoking pot, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm down.
I'm like
100%.
Yeah, that's just one of my other favorite films I used to love to put on because also there's so much music. So I would just put on the VHS and let it go.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know.
That's one of my favorite times for Beatles music is that Help period.
White Cliffs of Dover.
Last movie.
Ringo.
And Big Top Pee Wee.
We're going to get it one day.
I swear to God, it's going to happen.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But we're doing Three Amigos, yeah. Which means...
I'm excited.
Mm-hmm.
The next film is Tay's Choice, which could be Con Air.
Mm-hmm.
Which, at that point, I think I'll just throw in 6 movies and then like...
Ooh.
And then like...
I like that.
And then like talk and draw it out
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So next up is Three Amigos.
I like that.
Yeah.
Like
y'all that. Buckle like
the,
in for that
I like
that
the
wild
mail
ride.
Plane.
It's got little balls. Little Nettie goes to war.
Father.
Nanny. Man, yeah, I love that movie.
I'm already giggling. Just before we get into it, before we sign off, one of my favorite scenes in there is when they're in the campfire and just the most beautiful backdrop in the world. It's so fake. It's just such this
so
like.
So deliberately
it's
fake.
So deliberately fake. And everyone's just, yeah. He's playing the guitar, and it's just like, that is one of my favorite.
No, one of my favorite is the turtle that says, good night, Ned.
Yeah, I laughed at that so hard as a kid.
So
good night, Ned.
And I will say this, and I'll mention it once we watch the film. My dad, much like me in 13th Warrior, he watched that, was not in the mood, thought it was the stupidest fucking thing he had ever seen. Then he watched it, and he was like, it's all about the mood that you're in. Mm-hmm. He saw it again, he was like, this is the fucking greatest movie I've ever seen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you've killed the invisible swordsman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just beautiful.
Yeah, I'm into it. I'm kind of got a semi right now. Mm-hmm. Got a half stock.
Well, hold on. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does.
No.
We'll back that up.
Well, I back it up on this.
So this has been another episode of Cinema Vino.
We apologize.
Yeah. And we love you. And join us next week for Three Amigos. We will talk about it. We'll love on it. And yeah.
Where else is this? Do we have Tatez Vino on
yes.
Instagram.
I've missed a yes. few weeks again, but it's like I'm going to post one tonight and tomorrow.
We're going to take a picture of all 3 13th Warrior DVDs we got.
And yeah, moviereviews.us.
Yes.
Moviereviews.us.
Moviereviews. I'm sorry, I missed it.
It's okay.
Yeah. And then obviously any of the podcast stations.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, a lot of other places.
Yeah, and I also like the idea of us every once in a while giving each other homework to watch because yeah. Taylor watched some Cabin in the Woods.
Yeah.
Now, that probably would have been a better one to watch in this format, but still, mm-hmm. It's good shit.
It's okay. It's a big world, a lot of movies.
Yeah.
And we can fit a lot of movies in that little copper pot there. So
diddle a lot of movies.
Mm-hmm. There's room for everyone in this world. If everyone makes
eight
room, yeah.
Pete's Dragon. There you go. You're welcome. Fuck you, Disney Plus.
I think I shouted that in my sleep the other night.
Fuck you, Disney Plus.
Tazon Day.
Yeah.
I just want the Aladdin TV series to be on there. That's all I care about. Mm-hmm. Watch that and Gargoyles.
Can we get the real Ghostbusters cartoon back on TV?
Ooh.
That was my jam.
What was the cartoon with all the athletes in it? With Wayne Gretzky, Bo Jackson.
Yeah.
Bring that back.
Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan was in it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a crime-fighting family right there.
I think it was. They did fight crime, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had weaponized, like, hockey pucks.
Yeah. Yeah. And I thought that was my idea growing up, but whatever.
Yeah.
Agree to disagree.
Yeah, catfished.
This has been another episode of Cinema Vino, and we thank you for coming along with us on the ride.
And we apologize.
Mm-hmm.
Bye. Thank you.
I think a good Halloween costume would be John Ralphio.
Ooh.
From Parks and Rec. It's like, technically I'm homeless.
I am flush with cash.